God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from Numbers 21 and John 3. Numbers 21. The people were impatient on the way to the promised land. They spoke against God and against Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take the snakes away." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze serpent, they lived. To which John 3 adds, "As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." Dear friends in Christ, the Israelites were snake bitten. Venomous snakes were let loose in the camp. The people were in agony and dying. Why? They had spoken against God and against his servant Moses. And if you don't want God in your life, he won't force himself on you. But without him, there's only death. And to impress this on the people, God sent a plague of fiery, poisonous snakes. And then the people confessed, and Moses interceded, and God provided a sacrament. A bronze serpent on a wooden pole. A sacrament is a visible sign that God uses, and he attaches a promise to it. In this case, anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. It's a strange sign, isn't it? The cure looks like the disease. A serpent of all things. An image of that deadly enemy who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. A bronze snake on a pole as the cure. In Leviticus, God told the Israelites, don't make images. But now he has them make an image. Why? An image becomes a deadly idol without the command and promise of God, such as the golden calf. And sadly, later on, this very bronze serpent would become an idol too, so that God had to destroy it along with Aaron's staff. You see, whenever a sign that God gives becomes unbuckled from God's word and promise, then it becomes idolatry. But with the word of God and his promise, it is a sign or a sacrament that delivers God's gifts. The serpent on the pole is the means by which God saves his snake-bitten people. Anyone who is bitten by a snake can look at it and live. This should be a strong argument for those who believe that the water in baptism can't save, or the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper can't save. Here, they simply looked at a bronze image on a pole, and it saved them. Why should I look to the serpent on the pole and believe God's promise? I want something more tangible. You didn't say, "I don't like snakes, they give me the creepy crawlers, and so I'm not going to do it." No, if you wanted to be healed, you did what the Lord told you. Whoever is bitten, have them look at the bronze serpent on the pole, and they will be healed. You would go out of your way to glue your eyes on that bronze serpent, because it was the only way to survive. And when you did, you lived. Then Jesus says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." What's happening in Numbers 21 is that the Lord is foretelling his own death on the cross, where he will be lifted up for the life of the world, so that everyone who is bit by the serpent Satan and injected with the poison of sin and death can look to Jesus and live. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, every one of us is snake bitten. It happened in the garden when the devilish serpent tempted Eve and injected the poison of his lie, the lie that God is not true to his word, the lie that God can't be trusted, the lie that God doesn't really love you, and the lie that you can sin against God without any consequences. And he injected that lie into them, and he injected that lie into you from the moment of your conception and birth. And the lie is that the center position in your life belongs to you and not to God, and that's a lie. Those are venomous lies, deadly lies. Nevertheless, Eve bit and swallowed the lie. Adam bit and swallowed the lie. You and I bit and swallowed the lie. And through our sinning, that devilish serpent has injected his venom of death into us. When Genesis says, the day you eat of it, you will surely die, what it really says in the Hebrew is, the day you eat of it, you will begin dying, and you will keep on dying until you're finally dead. In other words, the devil's venom is not a quick death. It's a slow death. It's a lifetime of dying, followed by an eternity of dying. The poison not only entered Adam and Eve's bloodstream, it infected the whole of them. So that every child born to Adam and Eve is infected with the serpent's venom, and we're all born in a dying condition. No generation is skipped. Not you, not me, not our children, not our grandchildren. Each of us is born with the poison of sin and the consequence of death, coursing through our veins and through the whole of us. Ephesians 2 says, you were dead and you're as dead as a rigor mortis corpse in your transgressions and sins, and you were by nature an object of God's wrath. From the moment of conception, we weren't just sick or weak or hanging on for dear life. We are born downright dog dirty, snake bitten dead. So what's the cure for snake bite? You don't just put a Band-Aid on it and say serenity now. When you're snake bitten, you pray to God and you make a beeline to the hospital for anti-venom. So where does the anti-venom come from? Anti-venom is produced in a person who has been exposed to the snake's venom and yet survives. He thus has the antibodies in him or her that can now conquer the serpent's venom. God exposed Jesus to the serpent's bite and the serpent's venom when it says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus was cursed with the curse of the serpent's bite, sin, death, and hell. And Jesus was hung out to die. It says he, Jesus, took on flesh and blood so that by his death he might destroy the one who held the power of death, that is the devil. And yet, miraculously, Jesus survived the serpent's bite and deadly venom, but in an unusual way. He did die, but then he checked back out of his grave alive from the venom of sin, death, hell, and the devil. In other words, sin, death, hell, and the devil. The serpent's venom did not conquer him. And now he is our antibodies against sin, death, hell, and the devil. He is now the anti-venom for anyone and everyone who is bitten by the serpent's lie. And so if you're snake bitten, and every one of us are, you look to Jesus, who was lifted up for us. John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now imagine you were an Israelite in the wilderness, and you were bitten and injected with deadly poison, and you were starting to die an agonizing death. But you realize that the cause of your death was your own sin. So you turned to the Lord in repentance, and then you took him at his promise. So you looked to the serpent on the pole, and you were instantly healed and survived. But now you notice that your spouse, your best friend, and your children have all been bitten, and they're lying on the ground writhing in pain, and they're dying. What do you do? Do you wish them good luck and walk away? Do you ignore the snake-bitten ones but keep going to church? If you've already been healed and you're a survivor, and you now know that it is only by the grace of God and the anti-venom of Jesus's forgiving blood given to you by looking to the serpent on the pole that you survived, wouldn't you point your spouse, your children, and your friends to the same solution? Or would you just let them die? If necessary, wouldn't you even drag your friends, your spouse, or your children over to the place where they could see the serpent on the pole and live? And you would urge them with intensity. I don't care if you think it sounds crazy. Don't tell God how he can or cannot heal you. This death has come from God because of your sin and my sin against him. So if anyone has the anti-venom, it's God. And if he tells you to look to the serpent on the pole and live, then check your brain at the door, repent of your sins, and look to the serpent on the pole and live. I took God at his word, and it works. And you need to take God at his word and live. You, who've already been healed, wouldn't take no for an answer. You'd be urgent, even forceful. You wouldn't worry about hurting your kids' feelings or not respecting their beliefs or all the other baloney we slice up for not sharing the anti-venom of Jesus with our loved ones or for not inviting them to the hospital of God's house for the cure. If your loved ones don't believe in Jesus, they're dying. They're going to keep on dying until they're finally dead. Your spouse and mine, all of our children, all of our grandchildren, all of our friends, everyone in the circles of our influence are snake bitten. The devil's venom of sin, death, and hell is coursing through their veins. But you and I have the cure. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Not only do you have the cure, you also have access to where the cure is dispensed. In fact, you yourself are a dispensary, but you can also take them to the hospital of God's house, which is the main dispensary for the cure for demonic snake bite. You know the cure because you've already been cured. You have the cure. The blood of Jesus carries the antibodies that forgives all of our sins and conquers our death and our hell. The Lord's Supper gives us and all sinners the medicine of immortality. Sure, your friends and relatives may look at Jesus and God's promise of rescue from sin, death, and the devil by merely trusting in Jesus' forgiving death on the tree as being as weird as some snake oil salesman or as useless as raising a boa constrictor on a pole. And they might say to you, you've got to be joking. This is how you live forever? Just trust in Jesus and God will forgive everything I ever did wrong. Eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus who rose again to conquer death. Remember, when people are sick, they're not always thinking right. They're delirious. But while they're thinking you're crazy for believing in Jesus as the cure to sin and death, the tomb of Jesus is still empty. The cross of Jesus is still standing. And Jesus is alive and well. You've got the cure, and your friends and loved ones need it. It's that simple. You've got the anti-venom. The Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all, and by his stripes we are healed. Look to Jesus. Either be the dispensary of the cure by telling people that they're forgiven in Jesus, or take them to the dispensary of God's house. You've got the cure for snake bite. Whoever believes in Jesus already has eternal life. Either dispense the medicine or at least drive them to the hospital of Christ Church. You have the medicine of immortality. Whoever believes in the Son will not perish but have eternal life, and whoever believes in him will not be condemned. you have the sacred remedy by which we conquer death in the blood of the Lamb and the death of God's Son. Either give others the prescription or take the snake bitten to God's pharmacy to receive it. God's cure to snake bite is simple. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And there's enough medicine to save everyone. And they just need someone to get them to the cure or get the cure to them. Would you help your children, grandchildren, and best friends get a COVID shot? Then why not the anti-venom of Jesus for giving blood and victorious resurrection by which they get out of hell and live eternally? Why won't you give them that? Why won't you take them to that? And yet you'll take them to get a COVID shot. It wasn't a bronze serpent that God put on a pole to save us from sin and death. It was his own Son in the flesh fastened to the tree of the cross, that instrument of death with Jesus hanging dead on it. The world says, what kind of joke is this? But God says, you're saved from death because the Son of God bled to death on a cross for you on Good Friday. There's your cure. Hanging dead on a cross. There's your cure. Blood dripping out of his veins, there's your cure. Jesus checking back out of his grave, there's your cure. Don't argue with God's grace, just enjoy it and dispense it. In the end, it was not a bronze serpent, but a flesh and blood lamb that was hung on the cross for our salvation, which raises an interesting question. If the episode from the Old Testament is a picture of our Savior Jesus hanging on the cross to save us from the devil's bite, and it is, then why did God tell the Israelites to hang a serpent on the pole? If Jesus' death on the cross saves us, and it does, and if Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he is, then why didn't God have Moses attach a lamb to the pole instead of a bronze serpent? Could it be that God told Moses to hang a bronze serpent on the wooden pole rather than a lamb? For even though it was the Lamb of God who got crucified on Good Friday, it was actually the serpent that got nailed.